Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Hallelujah. I'm excited and delighted to be here today just to bring a few words and hoping that it marinates in your soul, your spirit, so you can share it with others. I am your host, Elder QT Docs. I'm here to bring you a message today. Amen. God is just so good. I'm going to come as the title of my message is going to be, come go with me or come follow me, you know, because that's what Jesus wanted us to do is follow him. Amen. And I'm going to be coming out of Matthew 4, 12 and 23. Amen. God is just so good. Hey, ooh wee, what a blessing. What a blessing for today, because today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I am your host once again, Elder QT Docs. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we cancel and destroy every assignment and every attack of the enemy. And we cancel every curse or negative words ever spoken over our lives in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Satan, get out of our minds. Get out of our house. Get out of our families. Get out of our finances, our churches, our neighborhood, our community, politics. Just get the heck out. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus is against you. Amen. God is just so good. I'm your host again for today, Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And that's what we're always looking for, is the truth. And the truth should set you free. Amen. You know, there was a saying about when Moses and the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, and they say, and you wonder why Moses and the Israelites wandered for 40 years. And the punchline is, even then, men would not stop for direction. I know my wife tells me that sometimes. She said, why don't you stop and ask for direction? Or why don't you do this? And you know, I guess it's that man thing, you know, being in that man cave, sometimes it's hard for us to just get up and walk right and listen sometimes. But in Matthew, you know, it talks about Jesus as he was walking and he was pulling individuals here and there to follow him. There's a story about during World War II. It was the U.S. Marines captured the island of Saipan. The Japanese army ordered the inhabitants to kill themselves by jumping off a cliff. Hundreds of feet below that cliff are rocks, water, and the beach. It is a very steep drop. American translators that was working with the U.S. Army yelled through a bullhorn that if those are on the cliff will come to the U.S. troops, they will be spared. Three words were yelled over and over. Come and live. Come and live. Come and live. A few did come, but most threw their children off the cliff and then jump after them. There are people today, as we know, who respond to the same way to the gospel of Christ Jesus. When we say to them, come to me, come go with me, come follow him. Some people will rather go in the wrong direction, or they will rather jump off the cliff than to follow Jesus. Amen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. My burden is light. That's Matthew 11:28-30. You know, I just want you to understand what I mean, or what it means to be fisher of men. Amen. Come go with me. Come go with me. You know, at the time, you know, of Jesus, you know, there were like three methods of fishing at that particular time. You know, you could fish with a line, you can cast a net, you can drop a net. The most difficult is, I believe, is with a line. You know, if we look at the big picture, what we have here is the message of Jesus, followed by an example of his verse in verse 15 and 16. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, turn from your old ways and turn to God. Lift your eyes from earth to heaven. Reverse your direction. Don't walk away from God, but run towards him. You know, many, many people that's not saved, that don't know him, and they listen to someone that doesn't know our Father, will run in the wrong direction every time we mention God or Jesus. They just want to run. Instead of running towards him, they want to run away from him because they don't understand the significance of their souls, of eternal life. Amen. They don't understand they need to repent. Literally means to change one's mind. Not sorrow or remorse, but a change in the direction of one's life. So as we go out into the highways and byways, and we try to compel others to our Lord and Savior, we just want them to know that, come go with me. And there's the light at the end of the tunnel. There's a better way. Come go with me. No, come follow me, Jesus said in verse 19, which is a command, not a statement. It's imperative not to downplay what Jesus is saying. Come follow me. He's commanding those that he walked past, come follow me. And immediately, what do you think of people who jump at the first opportunity? Some say you never jump when someone says jump. You want to wait and see what you're jumping for. But what about the careful calculation of what it is going to cost when our Heavenly Father asks us, come go with me? When you hear that voice, there is no hesitation. You go, you move. The Bible says it is foolhardy to jump immediately and follow. But however, Jesus saying, when the Holy Spirit tells us, come go, move in that direction, pick up this person along the way, we want to comply and do what is asked. Would you be willing to leave so quickly the certainty of your job if someone else offered you another job with higher pay? Would you follow an unknown future, not knowing the certainty of that job or that destiny? Perhaps if you're not happy where you are and with what you are doing, you need to take another role. Come go with me. Maybe there's fishing nets. Maybe there's fishing nets could no longer satisfy you. Fishing was what they did as their livelihood. But were they living? You got individuals now who take on jobs and they're not satisfied. They're just discontent. You know, they hate being there. But they're doing it because they don't want to make that move. They don't want to step out in faith. So they continue to be miserable and bring that misery home to their family. Are you just living or are you making a life? Christ Jesus called two sets of brothers who are ready. He called them with a command, and then he made them a promise. He told them, I will make you fishers of men. Amen? Come go with me. What Jesus saw in these men long ago, Jesus see in us today. He's the same today, yesterday, and even tomorrow. He doesn't change. So what he saw in them is what he sees in us. We all have the ability. We all have something special. We all have that gift. We just have to learn how to cultivate it and use it correctly. Now, they were ordinary folks who would give themselves to follow Jesus. We are ordinary folks. Do we have what it takes to catch a fish? Do we have that patience to listen to the rhetoric? Someone telling us, man, there is no higher power. You know, I believe in the stars. I believe in this. Do we have that patience? Do we have that perseverance to tell them, you know, this is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Courage to stand up as they voice their opinion. Do we have that eye for that moment? The ability to sit the bait to the fish. Can we see where they are weak? Can we see where they don't understand? Can we see where they were not introduced to our Lord and Jesus Savior and Jesus Christ? Amen. What kind of fisher would you be? Will you use that line, just a pole and a string? That means you're looking for one fish. That's fine. If you're going to use a line and catch that one fish, if you can just save one soul, that's beautiful. You're earning a crown. Or would you use a group? Would you use the nets to catch a group of people? Get into a Bible study class or go out on the streets and you see a group of homeless and you start preaching the word. Can you get into that little group? Can you use your nets to catch a group of people? Save their souls. Or are you capable of using the net to drag the bottle, pulling anyone who will listen? You're using those nets that drag the bottom of the lake to catch whatever you can catch. You know, Jesus speaks across the century to us saying, will you come? amen, and follow me. When we come to Christ, he gives us rest. We have peace and with God, peace with God. When we take his yoke and learn from him, we have rest for our souls, peace of God. The yoke of the law is the ministry of death carved in letters on stone. In 2 Corinthians 3:7, when we are identified with Christ and with his death, we are dead to the law and free to come under the grace of God. We are not able to keep the law of Moses because it depends on what we do. Grace, however, does not depend on us, but on Christ Jesus. Christ has paid the full price for the forgiveness of sin. It is a price we could never pay, and our forgiveness is made available by grace. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. It's John 1:19. When Moses gave the law on Mount Sinai at Pentecost, 3,000 people died. When the Holy Spirit came at another Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. Amen. Tell me what God cannot do. You know, I'm quite sure we all seen these stickers. As the sticker said, it was stickers where the people have their family, depicting their family and the kids on the bumpers. And there's one sticker on the vehicle says, it begins with the phrase like, with the mom and two kids, it said, this position is available. It's telling you, this position, she's making light of, you could come take over and drive his vehicle with all these children in there and take them to their soccer practice, baseball practice, swimming, whatever they have to go. But Jesus told his disciple in Matthew 9:37, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It is just like that sign I just stated on the back of that car. This position is available. We need laborers. There are few. It's available. It's always available for us. Amen. Matthew 4:19 said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, to ignore the command of Jesus, to follow is to reject Christianity. When the Holy Spirit gives us an assignment, when he tells us what to do, when it comes to us, we must obey. Amen? We must obey. We must initiate an invitation. One, throughout the Bible, we see that God is always the one reaching out to us. He's always reaching out to us in the Bible. He reached out to Abraham. Amen. He reached out to Moses. Amen. He reached out to Nicodemus. Oh, you don't hear me. He reached out to Zacchaeus. Amen. He reached out to 12 men ranging from deeply spiritual to downright pagan. He reached out to them. Now, did they refuse, or can they refuse? Well, yeah. The Holy Spirit reached out to a lot of us and direct us to do certain things, and we definitely refuse because we feel that it is so ridiculous, it's ludicrous to do what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh refused to acknowledge God. Israel refused to trust God and go into the promised land and wander 40 years. The rich young ruler refused. The Jewish leaders refused Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it's not unusual or unorthodox for individuals to refuse when the Lord asks you to come go with me. Once a soldier signs up with the armed forces, life changes. The order they receive are not suggested. Come go with me. Is it radically different, a different style once you go with God, once you follow Jesus? To the command to follow is presupposed more than a classroom learning, or it assumes that lifestyle of exposure and application to the teaching of the teacher of our Lord and Savior, the teaching of the Word. Yes, it's hard. Yes, we're going to be really ridiculed. Yes. But that's the price we pay of the alabaster bottle. Amen. When did Christians become primary knowledge instead of obedience? We must be obedient. Jesus knew that this was a precursor to disaster. Were we not obedient to the word? He told his disciple in the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with great crash. Come go with me. Be obedient, as he told his disciples. It means that we do without some things. Oh, yes, we're going to do without going to the nightclub. Yes, yes, we're going to do without cursing. Yes, we're going to do without that attitude. Yes, we're going to do without some things. We're going to do without that unforgiveness. In Matthew 16:24, it says, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross. Oh, my Lord, take up your cross. Pick up your bed and walk. Oh, this is just so good. This is just so good. Denying oneself. Yes, it's a difficult choice. You know that. I know that. He know that. She knows that. Yes, it's difficult. Everything is a process. Everything is hard. But it's just making that effort. Just stepping out in faith. Amen. Taking up the cross means we have to have that continued attitude of self-sacrifice, an unreserved commitment to Christ. You got to be committed. Take up your cross. Commit yourself. Surrender yourself. Amen. When did following Jesus become so comfortable anyway? A lot of saints believe it's going to be hunky-dory. But no, you know, if you've got to reign with him, you must suffer with him. Jesus told his people who came to him, declaring their willingness to follow him, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Amen. Matthew has said, Jesus came to comfort the afflict and afflict the comfortable. Too many Christians have settled into comfort and blindly bought into the notion is what God had in mind. It isn't. God don't want you to be a spectator. Much is given, much is returned. God has given you so much. Amen? It is empowered by Christ. I will make you fishers of men, he says. Jesus invested in us. He teaches us by example how to engage people, how to reach out, and how to serve. Come go with me. Amen. Come go with me. much like God's promise Moses to help him speak and teach him what to say, Jesus promised to help us through the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and 8, he tells us that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Come, go with me. In John 14:26, it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have to say to you. Oh, come go with me. We have an awesome Father. Our God is awesome. It involves us, but doesn't rest upon us. Jesus says, I will make you fishers. Amen. I will make you fishers. So many never even cast their line. We got saints, we got Christians, we got brothers and sisters in Christ that just in the church doing absolutely nothing. They're there. You got the church people. Then you got the one that comes for the entertainment. Then you got the one that's there just helping out and with whatever auxiliary they want to be with. But we need for you to cast your line, cast your nets. We need for you to drag the bottom of the lake. We need for you to get out there into the highways and byways and compel others to come to Christ. You know, the story goes that Mark Twain loved to go fishing, but he hated to catch fish. The problem was he went fishing to relax, and catching fish ruined his relaxation. Since he had to take the fish off the hook and do something with it when he wanted to relax by doing nothing, people thought that Mark Twain was lazy. But if you went fishing, he could relax if he wanted to, because when he went fishing, that's what he did. He didn't really fish. People would see him sitting on the riverbank, and they would say, look, he's fishing. Don't bother him. Mark Twain had the perfect solution. He would take a fishing pole, line, and a bobber. The bobber is that little ball that stays on the water, doesn't sink. But he wouldn't put a hook on the end. He would just cast the bobber into the water and lay back on the bank. That way he could relax all he wanted, and he would bother neither by man nor by fish, because he would never put any bait on the hook. Mark Twain is like a lot of Christians. They have their pole in the water, but there is no hook on the end. They are not fishing. They are relaxing. We have too many Christians in the church, outside the church, that's doing absolutely nothing. They're like Mark Twain. They got their fish and line in the water, but they're catching nothing because they just want to relax. They just want to look good. They just want to sit on the pew. And they want to be entertained. Amen? Come go with me. Jesus called the disciple to reach out in a way they understood. If they had been bankers, then he would have called them to invest in people. If they had been carpenters, he would have called them to start building houses for them. As a matter of fact, Jesus did use his imaginary, in the parable of the talents. He used the parable of the seeds to relate to the farmer. We talk about come go with me. Don't just sit there. Water it. Water your seed and allow it to grow. Don't just throw it on the ground and expect something to happen. Step out in faith. God wants to involve you in the reaching. the presenting. Don't worry about failing. Trying is succeeding. Not trying is the failure. Whether people accept or not is not our place. That's up to them and God. You know, you talk to a lot of police officers and a lot of law enforcement officers, they would tell you, you know, look, I'm just doing my job, man. You know, I make the arrests. I present all the evidence. Now, what goes after that is up to the judicial system. Amen. Now, whether they convict them or send them to jail or find them, acquit them, find them innocent, that's not my job. My job is to catch the criminal. My job is to do this. And what happened after that is not my concern. Amen. That is up to them and God. So that is up to, as we said, the suspect and the court, the defendant and the court. So when we present ourselves, when we tell them about our Lord and Jesus Savior, and if they don't accept it, that's fine. You did your job. You proclaim the word of God to them. You presented his side. Now, whether they accept it or not, that's not your choice. That's between them and God. That's their choice. Amen? That's their choice. Now, there was Charles Van Gorder was a doctor with the 110 Airborne. On June 6, 1944, Captain Gorder, and many other doctors were going to do something new on that day. They flew behind enemy lines in gliders made out of tubing, plywood, and canvas. Many crashed in the French fields and were severely wounded or killed. Captain Van Gorder glider hit a tree right between the pilot and the co-pilot, and everyone survived. He spent the next several months struggling to save the dying and keep himself alive. He was captured tending the enemy soldiers and taking deep into the Germans' territory. In December of 1944, a few weeks he was at the Russian front. He witnessed many horrors and escaped death many times. He managed to escape in 1945 and made his way back to the West through Poland. Along the way, he said every time he came across a Polish hospital, he would stop and help for a while, since the Polish doctors had been conscripted by the Germans. Finally, in the spring of 1945, he made it back to the American lines. What I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is that as we walk and follow our Lord and Jesus Savior, as we walk down that road and we talk down that road, as we continue to foot forward, as they say, let's try. It doesn't hurt to try to give a word to someone along the way, as Jesus did with the disciples, as he was calling them, as he was walking, come follow me. As we walk down the block, as we walk through the neighborhood, as we walk and we run across people, tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about what they can do. As we see the young man that doesn't want to work, as we see the young man and woman that's on drugs, as we see the young man and woman that's prostituted, as we see the young man and woman that's alcoholics, as we see the young men and women that's committing crimes, that's in that criminal elements, as we see the young men and women that just doing absolutely nothing, that's you know for a fact they're lost. They're lost in their sins. They're lost in the spirit. They're lost. They're depressed. As we see this, let's try to give them an encouraging word. Amen? Let's try. We'll take a pause for a cause. Come go with me, amen? Come go with me. Amen. Come go with me. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he is asking you. Come go with me. It's your choice. It's your choice. You know, that old cliche, we can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can give you all the word we can possibly give you. But it has to be your choice. You have to make that move. You have to step out. You have to walk. Put one foot in front of the other. You have to come go with him. If you want eternal life, you got to surrender yourself. You must come go with him. Amen? Come go with him. Man can't stop us. Hell can't hold back. Heaven is behind us. The kingdom of God is within us. The devil knows it. God proclaim it. We possess it. They need to know it. Amen. They need to know it. Come go with me. My brothers and sisters, today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I'm asking you to come go with me. Follow the path that Jesus walked. Find yourself a Christian, someone with kindred spirit that's going to help you, is going to pull you along the way. Come go with me. Find yourself a good Bible church. Find yourself someone that's going to just lead you and guide you and teach you. And find someone that's going to help you. Walk with them. Talk with them. Have your thoughts along the line with them. Come go with me. My brothers and sisters, show that love. Go out there into the highways and byways. Compel them. Proclaim the word to them. Let them know. Give your testimony. Let them know how good our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Let them see the beacon in your eyes. Let them see the glow on your face. Let them see the upright person you are. And they can see it just by your action, your attitude, your love, your kindness, your patience, your perseverance, your courage. Your courage is to go up to them and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, what can I do for you today? You all right? Come go with me. Direct them to a church. Might not be your church, but direct them to go find a church. Come go over there. It's right where you're sitting at, my brothers and sisters. There's a church around the corner. or there's a Bible class, a Bible study around the corner, come go with me. Let's change. As you cast your net on the wrong side of the boat, you're catching nothing. Now I'm telling you, if you cast your net on the right side of the boat, prosperity is coming your way. Good health is coming your way. Relationships is coming your way. Eternal life is coming your way. Come go with me. Amen. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is within us. The devil knows it. Come go with me. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I'm your host, Elder QT Docs. And I'm going to allow Pastor and Prophet Teresa Docs say a few words. She's my closer. She knows how to close a message. Amen. Amen. God is just so good. Come go with me. I mean, there's nothing out there behind you. We're going to move forward. Come go, follow me. Can you follow me? Sister Ray, can you follow me? Brother David, can you follow me? Amen. Can you follow me? Come go with me. Minister Cherie, can you follow him? Come follow me, because we're all going in the same direction. And we're going to carry, we're going to drag that net. We're going to drag the bottle, because we're going to drag them along with us. Let them see the light. We're going to bring them up for air. Let them see it. Amen? Come go with me. We're going to go. We all go walking in the same direction. We're walking up the King's Highway. Come go with me to my Father's house. Come go with me. Amen? Come go with me to my Father's house. Amen. Not to my neighbors, but to my Father's house. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn this over now to Pastor and Prophet Teresa Docs. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't you see yourself just dancing for the Lord? You done made it to your Father's house. There's a joy that overcomes you when you have entered into the gates of the house of the Lord. There's a peace that comes. And some of us, it's been so long since we have been able to enter into the church or our Father's house. When you get a chance to go, I want you to get your praise on in your Father's house. There's peace. Some of you all on the line know exactly what I'm talking about. There's peace and happiness when you're in your Father's house. There's peace and happiness when you're following Christ. There's a joy that surpasses all understanding. There is something on the inside that lead, guide, and direct you to where you should be, why you should be there, how long you should be there. I can go on and on. Elder, I want to thank you for officially making me your closer. Hallelujah. I give glory to God for that. Thank you, Jesus. You never know what's coming next. Amen. But I want to thank everyone. I want to thank you from Elder and I that you would continue to be a fisher of men and compel them to come, compel them to go, compel them to learn, compel them, plead with them to understand their calling, amen, to know that they are on a mission with a commission to teach about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tell them to come on and go with you. Get you a song. Put it on your cell phone. Go into their gates and put your song on and do your dance. Do your praises. Amen. God is watching what we do daily. So again, I want to thank you, Elder, and I want to thank everyone that's on the line that you will continue to grow, continue to go, and continue to know that God is leading you to compel men and women to come unto Him, where the truth and peace and happiness is there. Amen, amen, amen. I want to say God bless everyone. We love you with the love of Christ, and we're so very excited to see what God is going to do next because He's up to something. Amen. As my sister says, Jehovah Sneaky. Hallelujah. That's what she called him, not me. Jehovah Sneaky. Hallelujah. He's up to something. So you look up and live. God bless everyone. We love you, and we will see you on Sunday. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of your day. God bless you all.
The lame man walk again. You call the dead to rise. And that's why we dance in liberty. Cause you're doing it all again. Yeah, yeah. Cause you're doing it all again. Oh, 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 oh. Hey, you made the blind man. Made the lame man walk again. That's why we dance and live.